Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to Face to Face. This is a show about change and about what's next. It's a show that wants to ask questions, peel back the layers of our average everyday experience, and go beyond scratching the surface. We interview amazing people with incredible ideas and stories who have done wild, weird, and wonderful things. Remember that imagination shared creates collaboration, and collaboration creates community, and community inspires social change. I'm David Peck, and this is Face to Face.
So my next interview was with two women from the Toronto International Film Festival about a fascinating new film that you're going to need to see down the road called Love Me Tender. The interview is with Barbara Giordano and Claudia Reinicke. Joined me to talk about this new film. It's her second feature, Claudia's. It's a unique and beautiful, tragically beautiful coming of age story. There's dark humor here. There are some significant and serious issues that Claudia is taking on with this film. This is about a young woman, Seconda, who has acute agoraphobia, and something that I certainly didn't know a lot about going into this film. She's a young woman who's confined to her family apartment, and it's like this whole film taking place in this apartment building, in this kind of a couple of rooms, I suppose, with her family, all the implications of that, the challenges, the trauma, the past, the history. You can start, I'm hoping you're starting to conjure up what this might be like for you, because I think Claudia's goal here, you know, as a filmmaker, was to do that, was to get us to step into Seconda's character and say, you know, what if this were me? How would I react? How would I behave in a story like this, if I was actually rooted in something like this? We talk about mental health issues and depression and how complicated that can actually really be. And something fascinating for me was we talked about anti-superheroes, which I think is really interesting. And this is a film, as I said, it's a coming-of-age story, but it really is a film for all of us. It's about this internal journey. It's about finding others and connecting with them and commiserating with them in a way that matters, that's going to enable us to love and to empathize with others in unique and wonderful and profound ways. So stay tuned for a fascinating interview with Barbara and Claudia coming right up. And also davidpecklive.com for more information about my writing and my speaking. You can purchase a copy of Real Change is Incremental there through Amazon. I would love it if you would do that. And face-to-facelive.ca for more interviews. We're probably going to break 500 by early 2020. 500 interviews I've done, many, many different authors and philosophers and writers and comedians, and of late, in the last couple of years, a lot of filmmakers, narrative filmmakers, documentarians, actors, producers, and it's been a fascinating journey. Check it out. Go back through the history of Face to Face, and you're going to find some really interesting interviews there. You can get behind what we do and support us on Patreon financially. We have a few supporters there. I would really appreciate it if you did that. I totally get it if you can't, but would appreciate it if you did. And if you can't do that, if you could leave us a review online, iTunes, that would be wonderful. You know, a little bit of digital noise and digital traction action makes all the difference in the world. Please forward the podcast on to your friends, tweet about them, post about them on Facebook, sign up for the newsletter. And by the way, we are advertising for clients. You can do that through our newsletter, banner ads on the website. We can do shout outs during the podcasts, and it's new territory for us. So we're breaking some ground, but please do reach out if you're so inclined. And also, don't forget Rabble.ca for a whole host of other writers and thinkers and bloggers and podcasters and journalists that are getting into the issues that matter. They're rolling up their sleeves and they're making contact with reality. And as I often will say, in so many meaningful ways. That's Rabble.ca, and Face to Face appears there on that platform. Coming right up, Claudia Reinicke and Barbara Giordano talking about their new film, Love Me Tender. Well, welcome to Face to Face. We're joined by two very special guests here today at the Toronto International Film Festival. We're here to talk about a new film called Love Me Tender. It's an international premiere. We have Claudia Reinicke and Barbara Giordano. I hope I got your names right. Did we start out on the right foot?
Yes.
Yes, you do.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, welcome to Toronto, and congratulations on the film, international premiere. I love the film. It's a touching, tragic tale. How's that for some alliteration? But really, it's hard to watch at times, but in a really deeply relational way, if that makes sense. I feel like you were touching on territory that I've visited before myself and other families, you know, to some degree, who hasn't been touched by some of the issues that you bring up in the film. And we're going to talk about that in a minute, but I would love for you guys just to tell me, you're in Toronto, first time maybe, Toronto International Film Festival, it's a little crazy, how did the Q&A go? Tell us a little bit, Claudia, about, or, yeah.
thank you for the invitation.
Yes.
This is, it all feels here in Toronto amazing.
Oh, good.
This is my first time and your first time as well, right, Barbara?
Yes.
In Toronto. And it's been, everything has been very exciting. TIFF has been welcoming us with a lot of warmth. Mm. The premiere was amazing. The people were very generous, actually. The public was very generous.
Nice.
They were asking a lot of good things, simple things, and complicated things, but always with a lot of curiosity, which is very nice for us because we want to share the more than we can with this film. And to discover also the downtown of Toronto, to me it's been... I've been asking a lot of questions about it because I can see all the new buildings.
Oh, about the city.
Yeah,
yes.
The city,
yes.
And you have a lot of...
It's a beautiful city. It's condominiums are kind of taking over right now, you know?
Well,
a lot of real estate.
I could see that, and I could see a lot of the old little houses. I mean, they're like getting... I mean, I didn't see many of them, but some of them... I could understand that they were going to be destroyed.
Sure.
I was asking a lot about it.
Oh, interesting.
Because...
if you go a little farther west,
yeah?
Or if you go a little farther north or east, you'll start to see some of those, that older Toronto.
See, I would love to take the time to do that. And I'm used to New York as a city with, with a high,
skyscrapers. Yeah.
But... they seem older than here. Here is very, everything is in glass.
It's a lot of glass and steel.
Yeah, it's very exotic.
It's exotic, but it kind of lacks a certain personality. I interviewed a city demographer recently about a new book that he's written, and we talked a great deal about the character of a city and how these things actually have an impact. On relationships, on people's health, not just on their health, but on their mental health. I think it's fascinating. I mean, architecture is kind of an art form in a way, isn't it?
Exactly.
It's home.
And that's what I was asking about because
so
I was thinking, my husband was born in Toronto, actually.
Oh, okay.
My husband is Canadian, but because he was born here and he left when he was 2 years old. His parents, an Italian man and a Swiss woman, met here and they lived here for 12 years.
Like Toronto.
Right, exactly. And they left 40 years ago. And I was telling, Barbara and my producer, wow, if they would come back, I don't think they would actually recognize anything.
Oh, no, I don't think so either.
Because everything seems very, very new.
Yeah.
And I was curious about the fact that, you know, when you are from a city, usually you feel it's your home and you grow with the city and, you know, but when it changes so much in such a short period of time, how can you connect with it? What can you do about it? And where are your roots with the city? You know, I was just wondering because I'm sure there's positive and negative things about it.
So. Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really interesting kind of way into our conversation today, too, about the film in a way, isn't it? I mean, isn't... And Barbara, tell us a little bit about your, you know, stepping into Toronto and so on. I'd love to hear that. But I'd also love to hear just a little bit about, you know, this idea of home. I mean, how about we draw on that? Here you are living in this house in
yes.
Love Me Tender.
Yes.
And yet you're never really at home. Is that a fair question? Is that a fair statement? Does that make sense?
Yes. Was incredible because the home, I feel the home like garbage. It's garbage, sorry, gabbia.
Like a jail kind
of. Yeah, like a jail. Yeah,
yes.
Very much so. Very confined.
Yes, jail, but like a word too. Seconda has just that word.
Right.
And she is the...
This is all she knows.
Yes, and she can be the boss of that word. This is the problem, that when she goes out, she's go out, the world see her like an alien. And was complicated for me, go out, no? Sometimes was difficult
I
share the set with the troupe because I want to stay alone with Seconda.
Right. Sorry, character acting, I guess they call that, right? Staying in character. Well, you do it so well. Your performance is astounding. It really is.
Thank you.
It's I'm getting goosebumps actually just thinking back on the film and right from the opening scene. I think I felt some of your pain, you know? I mean, I really empathized with you, and I think,
yes.
I hope, I mean, I trust that's what you were going for. Claudia, can you tell us a little bit about the story, Love Me Tender,
mm-hmm.
And about this prison and Seconda and maybe a couple of your connections to it, if that makes sense. I mean, obviously you're connected, you're the director, so, but maybe more of those emotional sort of pieces.
Yes, I wanted to create this, a story about a journey, an internal journey, because I don't get to see a lot of that. There is always like films with big journeys, you know, where you have to go through this very physical, you know, and like with a lot of, big things going on, you know, the death of someone.
Right.
I just wanted to focus on something that was happening inside of someone, this battle, you know. And I didn't want to do just a classical drama about it because it's a very, it can be a very heavy issue.
Sure.
And so since I've always also been a big fan of anti-superheroes, you know, are a bit out of, you know, as I said on different Q&As now, I was born in Lima in Peru. I'm Peruvian. And I grew up with El Chapulín Colorado, which is this show for kids and this anti-hero character who just messes it up all the time. You just don't understand, like... And he is the hero of the thing. And I grew up with that, like just laughing and laughing. So I also had that one of doing this anti-hero character one day in the female form because I'm a woman and I can identify better with that. And because I couldn't find a lot of them on cinema. And I just decided to mix them up together to also give some more... like light maybe to this character and not only be in the darkness.
Right.
So that was really the essence of the story.
How, Barbara, tell me about, you know, you talked about staying in character and being in prison in this house.
Yes.
Were you drawing, so you suffer from agoraphobia, which is the fear of going outside. This is one of the issues your Seconda suffers from. Can you talk about that? Like, what experience did you draw from to bring that life to Seconda, to make sense of it in your own head as an actress?
Yes.
And I mean, it seemed like you were drawing from more than just the script, if that makes sense.
Yeah, to my life.
Yeah, you said. I'm just wondering.
Yes. I felt mm-hmm. myself like in the mama, mother, maternity. Do you know?
Sure.
Being pregnant?
Yes, but like... the home was my la pancia della mamma. Cioè,
yeah, she felt like her home was the belly of a mom.
Right.
Yes.
Interesting. So maybe like a maternal instinct sort of?
No, but just for I was the...
You're the baby.
I was the baby.
Yes. Okay. Okay. No, that's good.
Sorry, it's I'm embarrassed to translate this. But
no, that's great. It's good.
Because for me, Seconda is like a baby who start to understand how the her body, what her body can do, what her body can feel. So I thought a lot about the baby. Because for me, Seconda, it's like one prehistorical woman, you know, that don't see so good, don't understand so good as society. And so I thought a lot about the discovery of all, of one battle, of one cat, of one... hairbrush, all was like the first time that
The wonder of it, the discovery.
Yes, and because with Claudia we worked a lot about the present moment, not about the past. We didn't talk. Yes,
that's interesting.
I tried. I come from theater.
Yeah.
So
okay.
my background, it's all about the question.
Right. No? What's driving you, sort of?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I tried to Claudia, but why she can't?
Yes.
LA.
So you don't know. So it was an intentional decision to not let you know what happened or what caused this mental health issue. Is that right, Claudia?
Yeah, actually.
So Seconda doesn't really, or sorry, Barbara doesn't know.
Yeah.
Seconda knows.
For me, it was important to actually tell the story of an internal battle without pointing out exactly what the diagnosis is.
Right, sure.
Right?
Sure,
so
sure.
In the film, you never specify what is wrong with Seconda. You know she can't get out of that house, but some people might think she has too much anxiety. Some people might think, well, is she like really depressed and like is this like a depression? Some people might think like, no, that is agoraphobia. Some people think, no, actually, you know, I had that and this is, you know. So we didn't really put an exact finger on what the issue was, never. We just knew there was something. And I wanted her to understand this because I did not want to talk about a specific illness
because
that's not, you know, it's the context, but it's not the story of Love Me Tender.
And you're not a psychiatrist.
And I'm not a psychiatrist and I would never, you know, exactly.
Yes.
And so...
Well, and you know what, Claudia, what I just thought of too is with mental health issues... And certainly most families have struggled with things, right?
Yes.
Partners, children, parents, and so on, friends. Often you don't get a diagnosis.
For years.
Exactly. So you can be living with somebody for years and not really know what's going on and how do you respond. Like your father doesn't know what to do with you.
Yes.
And by the way, that is like the scene of him leaving and putting it on a post-it note.
Yes.
I sort of laughed, but was horrified at the
same
time.
So you laugh to like de-stress yourself because you're like, oh, on a post-it?
Yes. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. How could you ever do something like that? Yeah.
What's been interesting since we've been showing the film is actually like I get a lot of, but I've gotten almost every time people from the audience coming to me after the film and telling me, you know what? I've been Segonda. There was this period of my life. I could not do this like her.
Sure.
Exactly like her. But I didn't, I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. And my parents never knew why. So to me, it's just, it confirms that sometimes it can be very vague. And you just like have to, you know, this is a hope movie, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, man, you know, this can happen. Just try to hold on it. Just try to fight with these demons. And sometimes it's not possible to do it alone.
Well, and sometimes in order to fight back or in order to hope, maybe you don't need to know all the answers.
Yeah, and you probably are not able to also.
You're not able to know.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, human complexity.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure like doctors, you know, they do have some answers, but to me it's like it's very difficult to actually know everything that's going on.
So I was a little, you had a point there, Barbara, but I was a bit surprised you didn't smoke like a chimney, that you didn't drink, you ate cat food, you ate cat food instead, you know? You had certain, idiosyncrasies or characteristics.
Yes.
But not some of the sort of classical things that you might think, right? Which is kind of interesting.
Yes, yes.
And yet, you were so extreme. You know, the scene with the bow, by the way, the bow and the arrow as well. I laughed out loud, the absurdity of that, but also the...
We didn't hurt any animals, just that you know.
Yes.
The cat was the king of the...
it made me when you were talking about anti-hero earlier, it made me think of the bow and arrow and almost
I was very afraid. Was very, 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 very afraid, but we was...
Yeah, yeah, she was...
We was very attention.
Because there was no special effects in this film.
Exactly, yes. All real.
You didn't have the budget for any CGI?
So no? We're like, well, how are we going to manage this? I'm like, just try to put it in. Like, but what if I, you know? I'm like, no. You want to. But I was sweating on that scene.
I was sweating. The challenges.
And like,
of
we had one take.
Yes,
that
just
take
one
that
take.
You see is that one take because I was like full of emotions. We had a lot of
people. Why did you only have one take there? We're just going to go a little technical on you, folks.
I'm sorry. We did have a lot of people. She wouldn't have gotten hurt. Like there was, you know, but I knew she was very, very anxious about it.
Yes.
So
I was.
I knew it was probably like the most like difficult scene.
Right.
Not the most, but one of the two.
Yes.
Sure.
Two.
And so I could feel her pain and I could feel that this time maybe cinema was second. And she was, you know, I could not push her to another, you know, these moments.
Right.
And I love that a lot.
I love that you said you could feel her pain because isn't that what the film's about? Empathizing with Segonda and being able to step into the house with you and into those sort of those beginning relationships.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I'm amazed that you only had one take, though. budget was clearly not there for more time. Yeah.
No, and well, you know, and you were asking why, you know, she was not doing the typical things as smoking, stereotyping, actions,
sure.
You know. Also, you know, Barbara, the reason why... as soon as I did the casting, after 2 minutes that I saw her, I knew she was going to be Segonda, is because there is a light to Barbara, and you can see it. She is actually a very optimistic and positive person inside, and I needed that.
Yeah.
I needed that for a character that needs to survive, but that goes through dark.
Yeah, yeah.
So, of course, she was in like she brings that light in the film, which is why she's not doing the typical things. She's doing the other stuff.
She's doing the other stuff, the anti-hero again. I love that you have, too, Sikonda has this strong survival instinct. That's so interesting to me. Because
yes.
It almost makes me wonder, in a way, if you're really sick. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, that's a totally not a fair comment, because you can do both and more than both. We're so complicated, right, as people, as human beings. But talk to me a little bit about that. You sort of have the desire to end your life, but you can't quite get there. And you end up comically trying to get someone else to do it for you. And again, a very absurd, tragic way. He's really, and Santos, I'm not sure what his name is the actor, but
Antonio Bano.
Wonderful performance as well. So wonderful. And
we love Antonio
the scene
Bano.
when you surprise him in the shower, it might be one of the funniest things I've seen this festival. Like, I just can't imagine what would be going through someone's mind, right? Anyway, hopefully we're creating enough interest in people that they're going to want to see the film. But anyway, so yeah, strong survival instinct.
Was interesting because we worked about control. The most important thing. I don't think that Sikonda has a disorder. I'm sorry, but I don't know. Maybe I have a disorder.
I think you get to make a comment about that after the performance.
Yeah. I think that Sikonda, and we spoke a lot about this with Claudia, wants to have a control about her word. She cannot... she want to... it's like the father is the same, no? She wants to have the control, and she can he can control the cat, but he can't control Sikonda.
Right,
and
right.
When he left, he thought about the cat, but not about Sikonda, no? It's incredible. So Sikonda for me is just the daughter of that family, and daughter is correct.
The daughter, yeah.
Yeah, okay. But she has a star, I think, inside, no? And that star is stronger than all. And for me, everybody who lives in that home, in that country, with that TV, with that cat, it could be crazy because
so this could be anyone is sort of what you're saying. It could happen. Yeah, it's
a universal
kind of theme.
Yes, I feel so. And so for me the most important things of this film is the limit, no? The limit is correct. You invite the Sikonda with her story can invite everybody to discover it and superare.
To get past.
Yes,
to get beyond it. So you have a level, you have a boundary, and it's now to get beyond it.
Yes.
Which is beautifully portrayed by you, by the way, at the end of the film with how you run to the edge. And that's where we, boom, that's the story. Well, the story is just beginning, which is what I thought was really interesting, how you opened the film with that as well, the running together. So the ending, and I even wrote down notes when I was about halfway through. I said, so was the beginning the ending? Or is the ending actually just the beginning of something so fresh and so hopeful, that spark that you talked about? And it's so interesting that such a, for me, such a dark film, really, right?
Mm-hmm.
Such a difficult subject that you've taken on here, and you've done it in such a hopeful and kind of somewhat comical way.
Yes.
Right?
Black comedy, I guess.
I didn't see it as a black comedy myself, but I could see why somebody would certainly say that.
It's been actually surprising, depending on the screening that we have, depending on the audience.
Sure, sure.
Like... for example, the first screening at the Locarno Film Festival, there was a lot of people, and from the first scene, people were laughing.
Oh, wow.
Laughing.
Wow.
And I wanted, it is a dark drama type comedy,
sure, sure.
Weird, odd pop.
This is the director, by the way, right. Speaking. Yeah. Weird, odd comedy. That's gonna be the soundbite. Yeah.
But I was a bit, you know, scared that people wouldn't get the light part, the comedy part,
right,
because
right.
It is, you know, a subject that is difficult.
Sure.
But then being in the theater and hearing the people going, like, really expressing their emotions so openly,
sure,
and then being like, oh, you know, when the cat, and then
yes
it was great.
Yeah,
because
I'm
I can
sure.
See that when you do that, it means you a part of you identifies,
right
that's why
sure.
You laugh,
yeah,
because you're like, I know what's happening here.
So we're gonna have to wrap this up
yes.
In a couple minutes, but Barbara, can you tell me about the shift for me sort of occurred for you when Santos kind of this relationship, the fact that there was the beginning of something else. And I wonder, were you looking for, and can you both speak to this idea of relationship, of being at home, you know, of being loved, essentially? That's sort of what I saw, is this young woman who was never really loved or accepted for who she was. That's what I saw. And that's where, as you say, you don't call it a disorder, but
yes.
These peculiar behaviors started. Yes. All she really wanted, maybe if I go outside, no one's going to love me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not
yes.
going to be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
yet, she. I mean,
mm-hmm.
there's that beautiful scene in the forest and mm-hmm. the looking up and the facial expressions and just sort of that, okay, there is hope, right? There is
yeah.
hope.
And, I think that all the people, I don't know, in maybe in Toronto, no, because, no, I love Toronto because it's very different than Rome, for example.
Mm-hmm.
No, I used to live to Rome for a lot of years. And Rome, it's really, really in contact with her past. Rome is live for the past. No, Toronto is live for the future, I think.
Future, yeah.
I feel. And Seconda, for me, it's very similar. Because
Toronto.
Yes, okay. I think yes. Because I think that a lot of people in Italy, I don't know, or no, but me, okay, I speak about me. I want to stay with what I can control. Maybe sometimes we prefer to stay with who is peggio, come si dice?
Worse
than us.
Worse than us.
Yes,
because, yeah.
the Seconda's parents are not great like Seconda. They are not so good, and so Seconda like to stay with her, with they, because she can feel herself better than they. And if she will go out, maybe she will meet another, a lot of other people that can give to herself another idea of herself. Do you understand me?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that everybody sometimes everybody can't go out to the idea that we have about we self. Sorry for this.
No,
complicated.
It's good. No.
It's very
complicated.
Sorry.
Well, what isn't complicated when it comes to human beings, right? And,
it
and
is.
To and to fears and personalities and so on.
Exactly. And what I would add just to that is that, you know, you ask, you know, she wants to be loved. Of course she wants to be loved, you know, we all do. But I think specifically for Seconda, she needs to understand that she needs to be loved by herself.
Mm, yeah.
And
yes.
Love me tender is what she says to herself.
Right.
Yes.
She doesn't need, she needs people, but first of all, she needs to accept
yes.
that demon part of herself
sure,
order to accept other people. And so that's, you know, the most difficult part.
It is, yeah, accepting ourselves. Sadly, we're going to have to wrap up the conversation. I'm so sorry. The time has gone so quickly.
Thank
but
you
we've
so much. It has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I appreciate that. what's next for you, Claudia?
Well, the film's still going to play one more time. Yeah, on the 13th.
Good. And TIFF. Other festivals, hopefully.
Yes, a few ones coming up. Next one is actually BFI London.
Nice.
Film festival. Fantastic. Very nice. And a few others that...
You know, Barbara, you mentioned you come from the theater. It just hit me. This is kind of a play in a way, right? This could happen on stage, this film.
Yes.
It's
it
fascinating.
It could, absolutely,
yeah.
Because it's
very confined.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It could actually be...
Could be. Well, love me tender. We've been having a fun, wonderful conversation about a challenging and yet deeply important topic, talking about the film Love Me Tender. Claudia Reneke and Barbara Giordano, thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.